Take your Bibles, if you will, please. Find the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 32. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Jeremiah 32, and we'll as we did this morning, read three verses in unison, but they're not consecutive. So look at verse 17. And then we'll read verse 26 and verse 27 together, starting on verse 17. Ready? Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Verse 26 and 27. Ready? Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
Tonight, I'm going to preach what I would call a positional sermon. You say, what does that mean, preacher? I'm going to preach why we believe something that we believe. And I want you to listen. Many of you will be in total agreement with it, but it will arm you for our critics and those that don't know the truth. I think this will be a help to you. It'll be simple in some ways, deep in other ways, but I want you to listen very carefully. And if you'll pay attention, you young people especially, boys and girls and adults, young adults especially, there's coming a day when you're going to have to stand on what you believe, not what somebody else told you to believe. It's time for you to form biblical opinions and not opinions of what mommy and daddy or somebody else says. I'm going to show you what the Word of God says tonight very clearly, and I want to help you. Let me start by saying this. God never gives us a command that we cannot obey or fulfill. Let me say that again. God never gives us a command that we cannot obey or fulfill. He never asks us to do something that is impossible. God never asked us to create anything. By the way, creation means this, making something from nothing. Making something from something is not creation. Making something from nothing is creation. So God never asked man to create. It's impossible for us. God also did not leave it to us to get to heaven because we're sinners. And because we're sinners, we can't get there on our own. That's why, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't get ourselves to heaven. So God never commands us to do something that he has not provided the wherewithal for us to obey. Though we humans are limited, God is not. Let me say that again. We humans are limited. God is not limited. He's eternal. He's almighty. And he is limitless. Here in Jeremiah 32, it says twice, there is nothing too hard for thee. In verse 18, in verse 17, in verse 27, is there anything too hard for me? That's God speaking. Now, everybody look at me for a second. I know we have the weirdo God haters out there. Well, can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? No, he made your puny little brain. He can do it. That's man's reasoning. But listen to me very careful. God can do anything except sin. The only thing our God cannot and will not do is sin. Now, God even conquered death. No human being's ever done that. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Since God can do anything, don't you think God could give us a perfect copy of his words by which we are to live? Yes, sir. The Bible says there's nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing too hard for me. Therefore, there must be an entire, complete, perfect, inspired, and preserved, inerrant Word of God somewhere, or God can't do it. I get a little tired of these sissy britches preachers that are afraid to preach on the King James Bible. I'm not one of them. I don't have lace on my underwear. I'm not afraid of preaching the truth. The problem today is we have too many preachers who are impressed with their own intelligence that think they know more than God. The King James Bible is the only Bible for the English speaking people. I'm going to give you some history. I'm going to give you some Bible. And I'm going to show you from the perverters themselves, their own words, why what they have to say is wrong. Let me start by saying this. It's not the King James Version. It's the King James Bible. A version means that's somebody's rendition of it. I hold in my hands the very words of God. It's not a version of it. It is the book. It's not somebody's opinion about it. These are God words. How do you know that, preacher? Look at Jeremiah 32 again. Look at verse number 26. Then came the what? Word of the Lord unto Jeremiah doing what? Everybody look at me. That means God was speaking these words. I said this in my Sunday school class, I think, this morning. Isn't it amazing? These Bible scholars. Well, Paul wrote this letter to the Galatian church. How did they know it was scripture then? I've written a lot of letters. They didn't put it in the Bible. This wasn't Paul's letter. This was God speaking to Paul, sending it to the church at Galatia, saying, this is what God said. It wasn't Paul's letter, it was God's letter. I get a little tired of these Bible ignoramuses that think they know more than God. Go through your Bible and look up this statement. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, the Lord said, and God said. It starts in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out of form and void, and darkness upon the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. Oh, those were words. And there was light. He spoke everything into existence. The only thing God did not speak into existence was man's body. That's right. And he came down and took his own hands and formed it from the dust of the earth to make man's body and breathed into man. He inspired man for life. By the way, the life God gave man was to be eternal. Watch this. That's why when somebody dies, it's very difficult. They're not struggling to die. They're struggling to live. God made this body to last forever. And that struggle is foreign to the body. God did not make your body to die. He made it to last forever. But sin breaks it down. Cancers, old age, mental issues. You have all of those. Whatever it may be. But sin is foreign to our body. That is what the struggle of sin and death are. That's right. So how can they last so long? How can they go down so far? Because God made this body to last forever. And sin causes death, not God. Right. Now listen to me very carefully here. God says in his own words that he spoke these words. The word inspire literally means to breathe into or to breathe. And the Bible is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. What's that mean? Well, when somebody dies, we say they expired. That means the breath has gone out and not going back in. When you were hatched and you took your first breath outside your mama's body, people didn't have to keep breathing for you. You got one breath and God took care of the rest. You don't have to keep inspiring. It happens every time you suck air in. When you quit inspiring, you die. Now watch this. There's a bunch of perverters out there that will tell you, and I'm probably going to get in trouble from people around the country, but go ahead. Write me emails. I just won't answer you. When you put in your church doctrine, we believe the Bible, the King James Bible, is inspired in its originals. So what about the copies of the originals? Oh, those aren't inspired. The inspiration is gone. It's just preserved. Well, when you take the inspiration out, you take the life out. When you took your first breath, that wasn't your last one, hopefully. Because once you stop breathing, you stop living. And my Bible is the living words of God. And they're heretic that tell you, well, the originals are the only ones that are inspired. They believe inspiration like Shakespeare, not like God. Everybody doing okay? By the way, they're the ones, and I'll get into this in a moment. We believe, and we're certain, the King James Bible came from what are called the Textus Receptus manuscripts. You have people out there that believe in the Septuagint, the Latin Vulgate, and you also have those that believe what they call the Alexandrian texts. Let me tell you something about the Alexandrians. They're from Egypt. Egypt has never been a hotspot for God. And yet these are the people that promote, well, you might have a copy of the Bible, but there's mistakes in all Bibles. The King James is the best, but we believe that ours has fewer mistakes. Okay, I have a problem with that. You see, if it's only in the originals, show me the originals. Show me a book that's 4,000 years old. I have Bibles in my office that are a little over 200 years old. They're about to disintegrate. Pages only last 200-400 years. That's with modern day printing. When you're dealing with parchments that they had back then, those pages only lasted 100-150 years. And yet Jesus in the New Testament says, it is written, and he's quoting Old Testament passages. He said, Scripture says. And Jesus called things in the Old Testament 4,000-5,000 years before him coming to earth, called it Scripture.
That's right.
So if the Son of God trusted enough to whoop up on the devil, shouldn't we? You see, these so-called new versions are man's words, not God's. Let me ask you a question. How come they're not trying to correct their own versions? How come they're only trying to correct that one? How come that they never say, well, the New International Version is the Word of God? The New Living Translation is the Word of God. The RSV, the ASV, the New King James that Jerry Falwell helped put out. Hello?
That's right.
Well, these are better translations. Show me the originals you compared it to. Where are they? Trot them out here. Mm-hmm. Mr. Fatbottom doesn't have any sense. Yeah. You see, these translations, I call them perversions, are man's versions. They're not God's. Let me ask you a question. If each one has to be more accurate, we thought the one before it was accurate. Why does it have to keep changing in accuracy? Does that not resonate with somebody? First perversion of the King James Bible came out in 1902. You have to understand something. Do you realize that it was about that time that the public educational system started perverting and going towards Marxism? In the first 20 years or so, we fought it in the public schools, and by 1930, we had evolution being brought in under FDR. Isn't it amazing, as we water down the Word of God, how we change a nation? Now, please listen to me very carefully here. God tells us to do many things with His words. Listen to this statement. They are commands, not requests. I go back to my original statement. God never makes a command He does not give us the wherewithal to obey. Make sense to everybody?
Yes,
sir. Now watch this. If He has not given us all of His words, how can we obey Him? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. This is Jesus Himself speaking. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. Let's just back up to verse number 1 for text sake for my critics. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, so you got God the Son and God the Holy Spirit together, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Watch this. But He, Jesus, answered and said, "It is what?"
Written.
Say that again with me, real loud. What is it?
Written.
It is written. Look at me. That means it was printed somewhere. That means it's been written down, recorded. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone," watch this, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Everybody look at me. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or God is a liar and we're all dying and going to hell. I hold in my hands every word God spoke. It's called the King James Bible. We don't have time to go through the translators and the people in the study of it. It's amazing. I'll do it another time. But trust me, let's just use God's words. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means somewhere it says it's written, man cannot live without every word that was written. If there's nothing my God cannot do, that means He's been able through the ages to keep copies of every word He has spoken in print.
That's right.
There's nothing my God cannot do. Is anything too hard for thee? Don't you think a God that could write the Word of God could preserve it and keep it going from age to age to age to age? Isn't it amazing? In the last 60 years, the Bible of the Month Club.
Yeah.
Good night. You got the Reader's Digest condensed version, the NIV, the NASV, the RV, the NKJV. You've got the HIV for the sodomites. You got the Rainbow Bible, the Precious Moments Bible. You got all these other, the New World Translation, all the others. And they keep coming, "Well, we have more recent manuscripts."
Yeah, really?
Where did those all come from? I don't think God wrote more of them. And each one's supposed to be more accurate than the last one. Isn't it amazing? Until Jerry Falwell and the rest of the idiots in the Southern Baptist Convention got together, King James was accepted by our forefathers. America was founded with the King James Bible. Go through what our forefathers read and quoted from, and it's the same book I hold in my hand today. They didn't have problems with other versions of the Bible. The only other Bible they fought was the Catholic Bible, which was from the Latin Vulgate. By the way, the word Vulgate means vulgar. That's why the Latin language is not spoken anymore. It was a vulgar language. It was a corrupt language of the Greek language. Everybody thinks English came from Latin. It came from Greek. We have more of our language that comes from Greek than Latin. Anybody doing okay? God gave us every word by which we are to live. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Watch me. If it proceeded out of his mouth, that means it was inspired, because breath had to take place for it to be given. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 16. Philippians 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that's the Bible, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offended upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. God says here, these are the words of life. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'll show you how I know that the Bible is the words of life. Watch this. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the what? In the beginning, who? God. Then in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now watch this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Oh, everybody look at me. What do we hear? Words. Which we have seen with our eyes. That's called reading. That means it had to be written. Which we have looked upon. There it is again. And our hands have handled. Of the word of life, capital W. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Folks, the Bible is the words of God. And they are the words of life, because man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I'm about ready to get mad, and I'm having fun. Let me say this again. I get a little tired of these Bible pipsqueaks that get up and say, well, it's only in the original language that it was inspired. Well, according to the scripture, you're not only a fool, but you're stupid too. There's a separation between me and from whence I graduated. Because the previous pastor got up and said, the inspiration of the Bible is not there, it's only preserved. And I said, bye. I don't believe that mess. I won't go there. But when you go on vacation, I check churches out, you'd be surprised how many churches, well, we believe the Bible, we preach it from a historical point of view. We believe in the King James Bible and its originals. That's Alexandrian talk.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's devil talk. Everybody doing okay? The preservation of the Bible itself means it's perfect, because they are the words of God. You see, the perversions of the Bible state they're not perfect. If you read any of the, and I don't suggest you do it, but if you read any of the other perversions of the Bible, open it up and it says, well, these are the most accurate renditions we can find, but they're not perfect. I have a problem Which words aren't perfect? Yeah, the ones they kicked out. Now watch this for a second here. Say, why aren't they perfect? Because they're man's words, not God's words. They all criticize that book. You just King James only people. Blah, 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 blah. Well, just because you're ignorant doesn't mean I am. They'll tell you there's no perfect, inerrant words of God. Then pray tell me, how do you get saved? Because how do you know which of those words aren't right? Everybody doing okay? I haven't even gotten to the sermon yet. That was all the introduction. Now, let me go back to the original statement. God does not give us a command. He does not give us the wherewithal to fulfill. He's not going to ask us to do something we cannot do, correct? There are about five or six different things that God tells us to do with his word. They're not requests, they're commands. Let me show you what I mean. God tells us, first of all, we're to preach the word. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Bible says, verse number 2, preach the word. Everybody look at me. Does that sound like a request? Does it say preach the version? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto, what's the next word? Fables, man's words. God even told us that they were going to rewrite it. God says, preach the word. Folks, Brother Kevin said this not long ago. I often say, I'll preach at the drop of the hat and I'll throw the hat. Say why? Because God says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. That means I'm supposed to preach whether I want to or not. I'm supposed to preach truth whether people want to hear it or not. Amen. I'm not accountable for how you receive it. I'm accountable for how I preach it from him. And God says, preach the word. Let me ask you a question. If we don't have an every word Bible somewhere, how are we to preach his word? Right. That's why most of them that use the other Bibles don't preach. They wiggle when they walk. Well, let's have a Bible study. We're going to have an exegesis. I'd rather have an execution. Good night. How can we preach it if we don't know what to preach? If we don't have an every word Bible, how do we know what to preach? God also tells us to study his word. Stay in 2 Timothy there. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. Let me ask you a question. How can you study the truth if you don't know what the truth is? How can we study the truth if we don't know where it is in the word of God? Which words are true, which words are not? God never gives us a command we cannot fulfill. So there has to be an every word Bible, not only we can preach, but that we can study. Well, we only preach from the King James Bible, but I use others in my study. You're an idiot. Go through my books. I don't have any others. Amen. I hate to even say it. The college I graduated from, after I left from being on staff there, they began bringing books into the college and would put a statement in the front of the book. We don't agree with all the verses that they use, but we agree with the truth in this book. Well, how can you agree with the truth of a book that uses the wrong Bible? I have problems with that. Say, preacher, you shouldn't preach like that. They shouldn't be living like that. I got no problem saying it. They're the ones that changed. I didn't. Study to show thyself approved unto God. How can we study to show ourselves approved unto God if we don't have the words to study? Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Young people, listen to this. And that from a what? Child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. That's the Bible, right? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, that's the holy scriptures, is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look at me. We're not supposed to have modern versions. We're supposed to have the one God wrote. Amen. Well, King James is so hard to understand. All the these and thous and, yeah, thee means you, thou means you, ye means you. That's not real hard. Can I tell you why it's hard for them to understand? Because they're not even saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God in them. When you know the author, he'll teach it to you. When you got a man of God that's willing to preach the right one, he'll rightly divide it and reprove, correct, and teach you. He's not going to pussyfoot. He's not going to, well, just bring whichever one you want. Good night. How can we study if we don't know which ones to study? Why would God give us a command to study if we didn't have all the words? How could we fulfill it if we don't have it? Next, I said it just in this last section here. The third thing he tells us, to rightly divide. 2 Timothy 2:15. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at me for a second here. Dividing doesn't mean tearing apart. It means breaking it down into sections so that you can understand it. Yeah. My job is to preach to you. Okay. I hate to say it this way. But when a lady has a baby and she nurses her child, you don't feed a newborn steak. But you do. Mama eats the steak. She's divided it and turns it into milk so the baby can eat it. Yeah. That's exactly what a preacher does.
That's good, preacher.
I'm to take it, digest it, break it down to where we live so that you can understand it, so that you can live it. Amen. That's what rightly dividing the word of truth is.
Right.
Not trying to speak at a level so high nobody understands. When a guy gets up and says, we're going to talk about God, look out. Anybody that's got to make a two-syllable word out of God got a problem. Or Ernest Angley, five-syllable word out of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Help us. How can we rightly divide the truth if we don't know what the truth is? God does not give us a command. He does not give us the wherewithal to obey. So there has to be in every word Bible, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not by the pen of Paul. Not by the pen of David. Not by the pen of Moses, but by the word of God. Come on now. Next, God tells us to read His word. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Brother Kevin, don't do that. They're going to be in trouble. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. Watch this. Blessed is he that readeth. What do you read?
Words,
not pictures, not videos. Words. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the what? Words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Look at me. God says we're to read it so that we can be blessed on earth. He said, blessed is he that readeth and keepeth. And it's talking about reading the words that are written in the prophecy of this book. Not just the book of Revelation, the whole Bible. Everybody doing okay? How can we read it if we don't know which ones are his words? Doctor theologian, you know so much that we don't, you know, we don't have the real word of God. Where is it so that we don't die and go to hell? You tell me the King James Bible is not true and accurate, but show me the originals. Trot them out here. Well, that would take a miracle. There's nothing my God cannot do. Amen. Is anything too hard for me? God said. Next, God tells us to hide his words in our heart. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, this is a verse I believe every child ought to memorize. I believe every adult ought to have these verses memorized. Psalm 119, verse number 9, 10, and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto according to thy what? Word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Look at me. Those don't sound like requests. Would you please? If you feel like it, would you do it? No, God said, this is how you do it. And I'm commanding you. Let me ask you a question. How do you hide God's words, memorize God's words, and put it in your heart if you don't know which ones they are? Don't let these God haters and these modern day theologians, by the way, most of the Southern Baptist Convention's about worthless. They haven't used the King James Bible in decades. Chucky Swindoll, Charles Stanley, all of them use the wrong Bible. They sound so intelligent, preacher. They're fools.
That's right.
They're fools. Say, you shouldn't say that, preacher. I didn't. God called them fools.
That's right.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, they didn't say there's no God. They said there's not a God good enough to keep his own words.
Yeah.
Preserve them. And when you mess with the words, you're messing with Jesus.
That's right.
Number six, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. God tells us to let his words lead us, keep us, and talk to us. Three commands all in one. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. That's the words. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God said his words are the words of life. So God tells us we're to let his words lead us, keep us, and talk to us. Let me ask you a question. Why is it all these that want their own versions, they want you to trust them and not the word of God? Why is the priest and the pope tell you, you don't need to read the word of God, we'll tell you what it says. Everybody doing okay? How do we know what to follow if we don't know words, which words to follow? He said it's supposed to lead us. Well, how can it lead if we don't know what to follow? How do we have full assurance of faith if we don't have all of God's words? So, let me make four statements and then I'll close. Number one, the Bible is God's words, not man's. If you have a King James Bible in your lap, you hold the words of God. Now, I'm going to say this very cautiously. We, unfortunately, have people out there, Holman Press, Thomas Nelson Publishers, that are run by the Southern Baptist Convention, that are now changing the words in the King James Bible and not telling people.
That's right.
Well, we only changed the spelling to make it more modern. They're changing the word.
Yes, sir.
It's getting harder and harder. I get it. But if you hold a King James Bible in your lap and in your hand right now, you are holding the very words of God. God spoke them, God breathed them, God gave them, and they are word for word what God said, not what man said.
Yes,
number two, God spoke the words to man. They're not for man to change what God said. I don't criticize preachers that get up and say, well, Paul says here, they just don't know. But Paul didn't say, God said. Moses said, no, Moses didn't say, God said, Moses said. That's what the Bible says. He gave us the words. Book of Psalms has said, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. The penman was not the one who was using the tongue. God was. God said, I'll speak them. You write down what I say and don't change it. If I dictate or write a letter and my secretary types it, she's been told, you type whatever I say. Don't you change my words. If you have questions, you can come to me. But don't change my words and send it off and have me sign it. Say why? Because then it's her words, not mine. Everybody doing okay? If that's the way I am, how much more would God be with the eternal words of God? You think God is going to trust a murderer with his words? What about Moses? What about David? What about the Apostle Paul? All three of them were murderers. Three of the men that penned more scripture than all the others combined were murderers. You think God was going to trust the mind of a murderer to give us his word? You're dumber than a box of rocks. He trusted them to write down every word he said. But he didn't put the thoughts in their head and they said, oh, I got a letter to write to Galatia and here it is. And we'll send it. How did they know which letters were Bible and which weren't? Number three, the words are as eternal as God is. Can I tell you why? Because Jesus is the Word of God. His words are eternal. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. In the book of Revelation, it says he'll come back, and written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. Of God. When people start messing with the Bible, they're messing with Jesus, and that isn't something you should mess with. Number four, God's words are God because Jesus is the Word and he is God. I believe we ought to treat the Bible with respect. I believe it ought to take prominence in everything we do. I don't think it's sinful if you put something on it, but I do think it's disrespectful. Well, my last year of public school, eighth grade, I was going to Edison Junior High School, Perry School District in Canton, Ohio. I took my Bible every day to class. I put it out on top of my desk for everything I did. The only time I put it down was if I had a test and there was to be nothing on my desk. Every other time it sat on my desk. I had teachers that got mad at me for it. I didn't care. I had people that would open my Bible and spit in it. I had people trying to beat me up and knock my books out of my hands. They called me everything they could call me, you name it. But guess what? It just made me a better Christian. I remember my eighth grade science teacher. He had to teach evolution, Mr. Heron. He got up and he started, and I raised my hand. He said, "Got a question, Mr. Bush?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "What about creation? What about the Bible?" He said, "Well, you got it on your desk there. What's it say?" I started talking. The bell rang. He said, we'll continue this tomorrow. He said, "Mr. Bush, if you have more information, bring it." Ooh, that's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. I got home. I called my preacher. He met with me. He loaded me down. I went into class, and for the next 5 days, virtually I taught creation. He said, "Well, that's our time allotted for evolution. Let's go on." There's a boy sitting in that class named John Wilds. John Wilds lived a half a block down Elwood from me, towards 14th Street, 15th Street. Johnny Wilds got saved, came to church. Johnny Wilds, his mom and dad, and Johnny and I became friends, and I got his mom and dad to come to church, and his mom and dad both got saved. Started into church. Say why? Because somebody took the Bible, put it on their desk in a public school. The word is God and quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. I hold in my hand the King James Bible, the words of God for the English-speaking people. Amen. I'm not here to debate any other language. I can tell you what it is for the English-speaking people. Don't let these so-called smart people corrupt you. God cannot give you, will not give you a command that you cannot fulfill. If that be the case, there has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. Right there it is. Right there it is. Don't let people look down on you because you believe the King James Bible. Let me ask you a question. They'll say, "Well, you fundamentalists, you're all fun and you have no mental." That's their criticism. Here's my question to them. How come you have to have an easier Bible and I preach the hard one? If you're so smart, why do you have to have an easier Bible? And my next question is, do you know the author? Don't let them talk down to you. They talk down to Jesus. Get used to it. But you ought to draw closer to that book, not farther from it. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation 22. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to. These people that begin to cast doubt. Well, we don't have an inerrant Bible. We don't have a perfect Word of God. We don't know what all they are, but this is a better translation. Revelation chapter 22, last chapter of the Bible. Look at verse 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the what? Words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now look at me. God didn't say take the words out. God didn't say add words. He said if you would add to or take away from. That means when you take away from the authority of the word of God, you're in danger. Sure. Well, it's not inspired, it's just preserved. You just cast doubt on the authority of that book. Well, there's no perfect word of God, but this is the most accurate one we can find. You've just cast doubt on the word of God. And you've just caused people to not have full assurance of faith. That's like saying you can't put your trust in Jesus because you don't know whether he's Jesus or not. For my college to stand up and say that that Bible is no longer inspired, it's only preserved, they just cast doubt on the word of God, and I made a separation. Amen. Say, why do you preach like that, preacher? Because there's coming a day when we need to know what we know and why we know it. Amen. You need to know why you believe what you should believe. And I've given you scripture after scripture. I could give you far more of why the Bible, the King James Bible, is the word of God, because God does not give us a command. He does not give us the wherewithal to obey. And he gave us 6 commands of what to do with the word of God. And if we don't have one, how can we obey it? Right. You hold in your hands the very words of God. Let's make them as precious as they should be. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A bit of a positional sermon, but I believe one that's important. The words of God ought to be the foundation of everything we do. Our marriage, our child rearing, our relationships, our work. Everything that we do. You think that Bible's the answer to everything, preacher? Yes, I do, because you can't beat the words of God.